Please take your Bible and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the passage that I was reading from earlier when we were observing the Lord's Supper together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we will start reading at verse 23. And the Bible says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat." I'm sorry, that's verse 24. Let me back up to verse 23. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And I want you to remember this statement, if you would. "This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25. "And the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. I know that you're aware of this, but most often when we observe the Lord's Supper together, I normally read from these verses right here, and in those verses, there is this statement, which I tried to point out, this statement which says, "This do in remembrance of me." That means that when we observe the Lord's Supper, our thoughts are supposed to be on Jesus and what he did for us when he gave his life on the cross. It was a sacrifice that he paid for us, and a sacrifice that you and I could never pay. It's an important thought. It was a sacrifice that he paid for us, and a sacrifice that we could never pay. He gave his life in order that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And so we do this in our church right now. We do this quarterly. And we do this, hopefully, in remembrance of him. As I was preparing myself for today, in the days leading up to today, because I naturally knew that this was Lord's Supper Sunday, and the first Sunday of the new year, I thought about that phrase, "This do in remembrance of me." And my message this morning is built around that statement that Jesus gave us. And I want to talk to you about it concerning the Lord's Supper. But I also want to talk to you about that phrase in relationship to two other areas. One is you and I holding services together. And the other is you and I living out our lives. So let's pray quickly and then we'll get into my thoughts that I believe the Lord gave me to share with you today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. And thank you again for Jesus, our Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have, who would go to the cross and take our place, be buried, and rise again the third day in order that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Lord, help us to keep in mind that phrase, "This do in remembrance of me." Not just as it relates to the Lord's Supper observance, but also how we conduct the church services and how we live out our lives as well. Help me as I speak today. Help me to be able to portray to all the folks here today what you put on my heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, I want to talk with you about the Lord's Supper. And of course, we have done this together many times, those of you who've been here for a little bit. Used to be we did it once every month, and now we do it once every quarter. And we do this, of course, to remember, as the Lord said, what he did for us. I have asked you today, and I mentioned this, I think, when I was praying over each part of the Lord's Supper service, to think about the crucifixion. In a sense, put yourself there. Try to remember what the Bible teaches us concerning his death on the cross. There was a lot of suffering and agony that took place. as our Savior was unjustly tried and condemned. He was beaten, of course, with a what we think of as a cat of nine tails, a scourge. His beard was plucked from his face. He had a crown of thorns that was pressed down upon his head. He was nailed to the cross. He was on that cross for several hours and suffered tremendous pain and agony in our stead. When we think about the crucifixion and we think about the Lord's Supper, we remember, of course, that he did all of that for people who really don't deserve him to do that. How many times have you heard somebody, maybe you've said it yourself, "How you doing today?" "Much better than I deserve." Isn't that true when it comes to salvation and this relationship that we have with God? What a wonderful Savior we have. And we remember again his crucifixion. We consider that. We are also told in the scriptures that when we have the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to search our hearts. I tried to remind you about that this morning before we got started, several minutes before we got started, and then just before each element was given. The Bible encourages us to examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper. We always want to make sure that we know for sure that we're saved, because the Lord's Supper observance is for saved people. And then we also want to make sure that as best as we can, we're right with God. Now, we know we're not going to be perfect. We know that we can't measure up to perfection. That's a standard that only Jesus can meet. But we're trying our best to live for him and please him. And as we are preparing our hearts and getting ready, if something comes to mind, we quickly stop and ask the Lord to forgive us and to cleanse our heart. It's very important to do that before you take the Lord's Supper. Because the Bible says if you don't do that, you are partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And you can actually bring condemnation to yourself. So we need to ask ourselves, am I truly born again? Do I know this? And secondly, is there any unconfessed sin in my life? So we consider the crucifixion, we search our hearts, and then, of course, we have the actual elements themselves. We have the bread, which is just a little, they're not always perfect circles, I know that, but Sarah prepares those from a recipe that she was given many, many years ago, probably, I don't know, 79, 80, 81, somewhere in there. We were members at Calvary Baptist Church in Jefferson, and there was an older lady there. She's long been in heaven. But she would share that little recipe with all the men who were studying for the ministry. And she gave that to us. And we've been using that in all the churches that we've been in throughout all the years, 45 plus years that we've been doing this. You know, we've been using that recipe. So I know there's other pastors that use that as well that came out of that church. And that little piece of bread that you have, there's no leaven in there. There's no yeast. It's just flour and a little bit of butter, I think. And anything else? Milk, a little bit of milk. That's right. And then it's baked in the oven and a very short time, you know, because when they're that small, they would burn very, very quickly. But that little piece of bread is to remind us about the body of Jesus that was beaten and broken for each one of us. We should think about as we, and I do this, and I don't know if you do or not, but I think about this when the piece of bread goes in my mouth and it's being chewed between my teeth, it's my teeth that are chewing that bread and grinding it up because it's my sin that put Jesus on the cross. And I think about that. And he's paying for my sin on the cross. And so I think about his pain and his suffering. I think about the fact that I should have been on that cross, not him. But I remember that he suffered in my stead for me so that I could have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And then, of course, the other element is the little cup of grape juice. And it's to remind us about his blood that was shed. When you think about the different things I mentioned already, the whipping by the cat of nine tails or the scourge, you think about the plucking of his beard, when you think about the nails in his hands and the crown of thorns pressed down upon his head, there's a lot of blood that was shed. And I think someone accurately stated this. It's not genuine with me. It's not first time with me, but I heard it many, many years ago. If someone were to actually paint the true picture of what the crucifixion was, most people would not be able to look at it. It would be that violent and it would be that tragic to look upon, because our Lord was literally beaten within an inch of his life. There were many, many people that died during the scourging that the Romans used. But of course, Jesus lived through that and was nailed to the cross. And so the whipping and the crown of thorns and the nailing to the cross, you think about all that blood that flowed down his body, down the cross, onto the ground. That shed blood is what washes away our sins. And that little cup of juice is to remind us about that. And so as we observe the Lord's Supper, our Lord told us, do this in remembrance of me. Much like a lot of things that happen in life, the Lord's Supper is just like what I'm going to say right here. It's not about us. No, friend, the Lord's Supper is about Jesus and what he did for us. And we need to remember that. And so let's remember him when we observe the Lord's Supper. Secondly, I wanted to say this, and I feel like the Lord led me in all this outline here today, and I hope you'll take it to heart, not from me, but from him. Let's remember him not just when we observe the Lord's Supper, but let's remember him when we conduct the church services. Here we are on the very first Sunday of the new year, and we've gathered together, of course, to learn about him and to worship him and to please him and to have fellowship with him. And part of that, of course, is singing the hymns. I really do love the hymnal that we have. There are a lot of great hymnals out there. In fact, I was given one over the Christmas holiday that I did not have, and I very much appreciate that one, too. There's hymns in there that aren't in here. I think if you got a hymnal that had all the hymns that we like, it'd probably be like this thick, you know. It'd be really hard to fit it underneath the chair in front of you or even to hold it. But anyway, I love the hymnal that we have and the hymns that we sing. And the hymns that we sang today, I tried to choose because of the Lord's Supper service. And thinking especially about that last one, Born to Die Upon Calvary. When you sing the hymns, let me encourage you to do it in remembrance of him. Think about the words. Think about what you're singing. Think about what the hymn is talking about. Think about the message that's being given that as you sing it. You know, for instance, that song that I just mentioned, Born to Die. On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay, fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. We usually think about the birth of Jesus as the stars and the angels and the bright light and all that. But the song is reminding us that there's more to it than that, because there's a shadow that hangs over that whole event, which is in the shape of the cross. Jesus knew when he came he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise with his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. From the throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss. For my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. Hallelujah. Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore. As I follow the path to Calvary, of thy death I partake. My ambition I forsake. All my will I surrender to thee. And then, of course, the chorus, Born to Die Upon Calvary. Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. When we sing the hymns, we need to think about the words, don't we? And we need to remember him. This do in remembrance of me. That's a good statement, not just for the Lord's Supper. That's a good statement for us as we have the church services together. How about the giving of our tithes and offerings? That's another part of each church service, isn't it? The giving of your tithes and offerings is an important part of worshiping the Lord, recognizing his lordship over you. recognizing that every good and perfect gift you have came down from above, from the Father of lights. It's recognizing that He's the master and you're the servant. As you participate in the giving of the offerings, tithes and offerings, do you do it with a happy and joyful heart? I happen to know this time of year, and I know it was going on today, one of our deacons, Brother Jerry, prepares the giving statement, and he hands it out to you, and you get to see how much you gave last year. And as you look over that amount, do you think to yourself, wow, I could have bought a lot of nice things with that. I think I'll cut back this year. Or do you look at that and you say, praise God, I didn't realize it was that amount. I'm so glad that God allows me, don't miss this, I'm so glad that God allows me to be a part of His work right here on this earth. Because your giving helps not only to keep this church going, but it helps to keep our missionaries on the field and all the special offering type things that we do. And I mean, it works in a lot of different ways when you give your tithes and your offerings. So hopefully we can all do it with a happy and joyful heart, because we're getting to be a part of furthering Jesus' work on this earth. Every penny you give to the Lord's work, every penny you give, you're going to be rewarded for in heaven. It's like you're sending it ahead. And so I encourage you to be faithful, not just with singing the hymns, but giving your tithes and offerings in remembrance of Him. Well, what about delivering the sermon? That's another part of the service. Pastor, that's not me. That's all you. And that's true. Delivering the sermon, that's my responsibility. And I love to do it. However, the sermon is normally going to be a lot better if the people present are interested. Notice the two faint amens. Please notice the smile also. I'm just having some fun with you. But it's honestly, it is true. As a speaker, if you've ever been a speaker, when your audience is listening, when they're involved, when they're hearing it from their heart, and they're taking it in, it's always a lot easier to deliver it. Whatever your talk or sermon is, you know, that's for me, it's the sermon, of course. If people are interested, it's a whole lot easier to deliver it. So whether you know it or not, whether you've ever thought about it or not, the delivery of the sermon, in some degree, depends upon you. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but when your husband, Darlene, when Bill was alive, and he and I would meet on Tuesdays, he'd mention to me, I bet he mentioned this a dozen times. He said, I admire the way your wife looks at you while you're delivering the sermon. He said, you can tell she's involved, she's listening. She's smiling when she's supposed to smile. She's, you know, if there's something kind of frown in the sermon, she'll frown it, but she's involved. He said, you can always tell. He said, Pastor, I've been in a lot of different churches, and he said, granted, a lot of them are Lutheran churches. That's where he was in the past, you know. But he said, I look over at the wife, and she's not listening at all. She's not involved. But he said, Sarah's always involved. And I would always say to Bill, you know what? That's one thing I've always appreciated about my wife. She's there. She's involved. She's listening. I appreciate that about you, honey. I really do. It means a lot. When someone is in the audience, and I'm not saying there's anybody like that here today, but if somebody's in the audience, it's kind of like they've got their arms crossed and they're almost, you know, not with their mouth, but with their attitude, it's almost like, I dare you to give me something that'll move me. You know, almost like their theme song would be from the hymnal. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Sometimes I've been in situations where there's one in the audience who's kind of like that. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. When I figure out where that person is, I don't spend a lot of time looking at them. You know why? Because that's going to discourage me. I'd rather look at somebody who's looking back at me and smiling and involved and nodding their head and maybe saying amen and so forth. That helps me. See? The other side of it, that doesn't help me. So you do play a part in the delivery of the sermon. And we do this, listen, we do this in remembrance of Him. In remembrance of Him. singing the hymns, giving tithes and offerings, delivering the sermon, of course, listening to the sermon. Are you listening to the sermon? I guess we already kind of touched on that. But listening as if, listen, God is speaking to you. Not a man, not a sinful human being who's been saved and called to do this, but God speaking to me from his word. Because we all need to listen in that way. Lord, what do you want me to get from this? What should I be getting from this message? Try not to worry about anybody else sitting in the audience. Boy, I sure hope Brother So-and-so is listening today. He really needs this. Or thinking to yourself, man, I sure wish Brother So-and-so was here. He needed this sermon. That's not how we're supposed to be, is it? We're supposed to be here to listen for us. What does God want to talk to me about today? Listen to the sermon in such a way that God can speak directly to you. And then, of course, that leads us to living out what you're learning. Don't leave it here in the church. Take the sermon with you. Look for ways to put into practice the things you are learning. Those who listen and learn and live what they're learning at church are the ones who are going to grow and mature as a Christian. So again, whether it's observing the Lord's Supper or conducting the church services, let's make sure that we do it all in remembrance of Him. I've got one more thought I want to bring to your attention today that, I think God put this on my heart. Let's remember Him and do in remembrance of Him. Let's remember Him as we live out our lives. As we live out our lives. How would the Lord want us to live? Not what would Pastor think. What does the Lord think? How does He want me to live? In that previous point, I was talking about not leaving the sermon in the church when you leave the building. God doesn't want us to leave the sermon in the church when we leave the building. Instead, God wants us to be a living example of what the Bible says. Based on what you've learned from the Bible, has it changed your life? Are you a different person today? Are you living your life differently today than you did, say, years ago, based on what you've learned from the Bible? Look to the Lord for wisdom when you have decisions to make. As you live out your life, the best source of all knowledge and wisdom is the Lord Himself. And so ask Him for guidance and wisdom. You can and should ask Him to help you and guide you, especially when you have important decisions to make. He wants you to ask Him. And by the way, if you ask Him, He will answer. He will answer. Live your life with Judgment Day in view. You hear me say that often, but always remember that one day you'll have to stand before Him and give an account of your life. Friday and Saturday, Sarah and I went up to Superior, Wisconsin, for that annual pastor's meeting that they host up there. And there were people from North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, of course, pardon?
Nebraska.
Was there anyone there from Michigan?
Yes.
People there from Michigan. So you get the idea. People from all over this Midwest area that came to this meeting. And, of course, it's a large meeting. The folks wouldn't fit in this room at all. Great singing and good special music and great preaching and so forth. One of the parts of the meeting, the pastor that hosts this meeting asks all the pastors to stand up and introduce themselves to the audience and tell, this year he said it this way, tell us how long you've been in the ministry. You'll understand in a minute why I give you this story, because we're going around the room and if I'm looking back, as we talked about this morning, Sarah mentioned this in Sunday school, we were a part of the church, a small church in Killeen, Texas, when we were both in the Army, and our pastor had sold some bonds to help buy a building, and I can't tell you exactly why, because I don't know, but our pastor left us in the middle of the night with a building and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bonds, and we had no idea what we're going to do with. So here we are. And of course, we lost a fair amount of people during that time. But what we decided to do, those of us who were old enough to make decisions, we decided that we would sell the building and we would start meeting in each other's homes. There were only 12 of us left. There's no way we could have handled that debt. And so that's what we did. We sold the building and we started meeting in homes. And I was one of the men who started taking charge of the services and delivering the sermons, you know, for the services and so forth. We took turns, different men within the church. So if we go all the way back there, that's when I really got, you know, I'll say baptized into the ministry a little bit. And then we eventually called a pastor, and I was his second man. And then eventually, of course, I'd make my way to Maranatha and become a student there. And I was assistant pastor in a couple of different churches, but most of the time with my father. And then eventually get a church of my own. If you put all those years together, and here's what I said. My name is Mark Weiss. I'm the pastor of Stoughton Baptist Church in Stoughton, Wisconsin. This is my wife, Sarah. I've been in the ministry for 48 years. So we go all the way around the room, and I said to Sarah after we were leaving the meeting, I said, did you notice that out of all those guys who introduced themselves and all the years that they've been in the ministry, I was the longest. Now some were 20 and some were 30 and some were 40, but most of them in the earlier numbers. And I don't know what that would do for you, but that makes me feel old. But here's why I tell you this. All the things that we have done, I don't believe, and I don't want you to ever think this, I don't believe that I'm perfect. I don't believe that I've always followed God's advice to the letter or perfectly. But I believe I can say this honestly. I've tried my best each and every day to do what he wants me to do. To make my decisions based on what he's leading me to do. That's the same with this little outline that I've got for you today. How would the Lord want us to live? How would the Lord want us to live? God is the source of our knowledge and wisdom. He's the one to help us to make decisions. I have made some decisions in life. I know what I'm talking about. I have made some decisions in life where, I'm thinking about one in particular right now, even my father thought it was the wrong decision. You know what I'm talking about. But in my heart, I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And I said, Dad, I'm sorry, but I really feel like I have to do this. Now, he came around later, but at the time, he and I disagreed on that. What does God want you to do with your life? Always remember that one day you're going to stand before him and give an account. Keep in mind that as you live your life, God will guide you in your choices and decisions. And one day, of course, you're going to have to give an account to him. And you don't want to be ashamed on Judgment Day. As you live out your life, again, ask yourself, how would the Lord want me to live? Look to him for wisdom and guidance. Live your life with Judgment Day in view. Here's another thought. As you live out your life, remember that other people are watching. Remember that other people are watching. I saw something online just this last week, I think it was, said something like this. If you don't want people to talk about what you did, then why did you do it? Something like that, the wording was. You know, people are watching. I have an idea that people know who we are and what we do, and we don't even know that about these individuals. How many times hasn't it happened where, for instance, just as an example, my daughter Rebecca is talking to somebody from this community or a community nearby, and she tells, you know, who her father is. Oh, I know him. Or, oh, I've met him. But, are you kidding me? That person knows who I am? Sometimes folks are watching our life and we don't even know it. I don't know about you, but it makes me wonder, was my example good or bad? Did I show them the way to Jesus? Or did I point them away from him? See, we want to draw people toward the Savior, not push them away. So remember that other people are watching. And this thought, too, remember that not only are other people watching, but remember that God is watching. More important than people watching, of course, is God watching how we live. And did you know that God keeps accurate records? Others may not see, here's an example, others may not see some of the good that you're doing for the Lord's kingdom, but God does. And he keeps accurate records. So we've come today to the Lord's Supper service, and that little statement that we read when it says, "This do in remembrance of me," prompted this sermon this morning. Let's remember him when we observe the Lord's Supper. Think about the crucifixion, search your hearts. Think about things when you partake of the bread and when you partake of the juice. Let's remember him when we observe the Lord's Supper. Secondly, let's remember him when we conduct the church service. When we sing the hymns, when we give our tithes and offerings, when we deliver the sermon, when we listen to the sermon. Hopefully we live out that sermon. And then thirdly, let's remember him when we live out our lives. How would God want us to live? Ask him for wisdom and direction for your decisions. Live your life with Judgment Day in view. Remember that other people are watching, and always remember that God is watching. You know, the Lord told us, and here's the reason why this sermon came about. The Lord told us in the instructions here for the Lord's Supper, two different times, "This do in remembrance of me." Somebody reminded about me about this earlier, before I wrote this sermon, but when God says something once, he wants us to pay attention. When he says it twice, you better really sit up and pay attention. Twice he said, "This do in remembrance of me." And I thought, you know, I think God wants us to do that in remembrance of him, not just with the Lord's Supper, but also really about everything in life, including the church services and how we live our life. Let's stand together. Can we do that together? Everyone standing and head bowed and eyes closed. And let's have a verse or two of invitation together. Father, thank you for this time. Very simple message, very simple sermon, but something I believe you laid on my heart. And I hope everybody received it as from you, Lord. And nobody has to do anything because I said so. I've always known that. It's not up to me to tell them what to do. But it is up to you. And I try my best to deliver a sermon that would line up with the Word of God and what you would want from them. And so help us, Lord, to observe the Lord's Supper this way, to conduct the church services this way, and really the church business this way, and then also living our lives this way, to do it in remembrance of our Savior. Bless this invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen.